Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Roma Press Podcast. We hope you are doing well. A belated Buon Natale to all of you who celebrate, and to all of those of you throughout the world. We hope you had a very happy, relaxing, safe, enjoyable holiday with friends and family. And what better way to enter the new year than Roma either potentially crushing us or giving us a huge holiday lift? Before previewing that, of course, thank you to our newest patrons over at Patreon, Lee Muko, and of course, all of our other wonderful patrons. If you would like to join in 2025, patreon.com/RomaPress. If you would like to torture yourself throughout the matches, if you would like to debate why Lorenzo Pellegrini should be shipped off to Napoli for Raspadori, again, patreon.com/RomaPress at IS Roma Press on social media, including YouTube for the video podcast. Okay, before we preview this huge weekend showdown against Milan, let's start out, Andy, with some of the transfer rumors surrounding Roma. Again, one of my most despised parts of the year is the January transfer market, because for some reason, for some godforsaken reason, UEFA has decided to do this thing where they not only extended the summer transfer market, but there was no alteration done to the January one. So we essentially are given 2 months, was probably too generous, yeah? Maybe 1 full month of just football. No transfers, no talk of the market,
right?
No agent interviews. The period of time in which we are able to relax without the market is increasingly dwindling. This is something I know I sound like a boomer when I discuss. I don't get it. I understand. Our good friend Fabrizio Romano, God bless, making a living, more money than you and I will. Yes,
revolutionized single-handedly. Revolutionized this understanding that we have of the transfer market. It's insane.
It is insane, particularly, I mean, just having known him when he was still at Sky Sport, as we all know, he was sort of the underling or the understudy.
Understudy. Yeah.
And full credit to him.
Now he's just like a regular celebrity on there. So he's just, he's got this incredible, I mean, you'd be hard pressed to find a person who hasn't heard of Fabrizio Romano. I would argue that he's probably more famous than a lot of celebrities nowadays. Undoubtedly. So that just goes to show, you know, the traction that the transfer market has, because you can be Roma, you can be coming off of a historically awful first half of the season, you can have an awful track record, you can have a whole series of performances that you'd never want to watch again, ever. And yet, this period, the January transfer market appears on the horizon, and everybody just gets sucked into this old game. The old game of the names, of the links, of the rumors, of the swap deals, of everything that the transfer market entails. No matter how bad your team is doing or how good your team is doing, this period will draw you back in. It's just like The Godfather Part 3. There you are, you're old, you're decrepit, you're dying, but then when the gong sounds, you know, when the fog horn blares across the ocean, you know that January is coming. You know what that means. Last year, we weren't in a much better position. And yet somehow the fans, I remember, they got all riled up. First of all, when Thiago Pinto announced that he was leaving the club. And then second of all, when Roma were being linked with Leonardo Bonucci. I remember it was basically an uprising when that name dropped on, I think, like December 25th of last year. It was insane. It was insane, and people went insane, even though they had no reason to go insane. Well, let's see what happens in these next few weeks, because Roma obviously have a lot of things to address. There is a lot of things that Roma can do to improve the trajectory of their season. But I always find it funny how no matter how many times I hear or see people say, okay, you know what? I'm done with this team. I'm done. I'm not invested in it anymore. As soon as
as soon as it comes,
everybody's back on the ship. Everybody's back in it.
You can't quit this team. Once you have been subjected to the absolutely insane levels of depravity to which this club regularly just time after time without hesitation, it is almost as if you can set your watch by it, to which they constantly subject you to, you can't quit it. It's almost as if your state of homeostasis has to include torture, watching your team. What you brought up Bonucci, what was it, 3 years, was it 2 years ago, Roma no, up no, 3-0 no. and then Juve no, scored oh, three oh, or four yeah, yeah, in the yeah, final always, 20
yeah, yeah? The Mourinho's first season, yes.
Yeah, you need that. You need that in your life. Because if you're not getting it through Roma, you're certainly getting it through other means, which may be even more unsavory than IS Roma football. But we can save that for another day. When it comes to the actual players, though, of course, there's going to be the incoming in the outgoing portion of this. Now, I want to warn everybody, as I do every single time, when it comes to the transfer market, I very rarely, when it comes to rumors, when it comes to the future of players, of managers, anything a club, player, or agent says publicly holds very little stock with me. It means very little. There's usually a small grain of truth, but the bigger picture to understand is that these words are being said publicly for a reason, to either alter, create, or distort a narrative from the perspective of the club, player, agent, whatever it may be. Everything is done behind the scenes. So when it comes to this thing, like we're seeing now in terms of players connected to Roma being linked with outgoing transactions, the biggest one is Lorenzo Pellegrini, Paulo Dybala. Had we gone back in time 2 to 3 years, and to even imagine that these two guys would never mind being discussed for leaving the club, but leaving the club in the middle of the season, unheard of, particularly that first season of Jose Mourinho, when they were so, not Paulo Dybala, obviously, but Lorenzo Pellegrini, how influential he was in that first year.
Yeah, yeah. Winning player of the Conference League. Mm-hmm.
Yes. What we are seeing are the rumors of him to Napoli in a swap deal for Raspadori. That is being very hammered home and being reported strongly.
Even though there is always that byline of, Pellegrini makes twice as much as Raspadori makes, so the deal remains difficult. Yeah, I mean, no shit, man. No shit. You know, those are the things. That's what we always come to expect, is that there are some deals that get spoken into existence, even though it's being stated time and time again how highly improbable such a deal is. So, and this is, I mean, this is by definition like the most January rumor of all time. Raspadori to Roma for Lorenzo Pellegrini to Napoli, a player who is a backup option at Napoli to a player who earns, around 4.5, 5 million euros at Roma. You know, one of the highest paid players at the club. Captain player who's been here since 2018, or rather, 17. And, you know, what are we talking about? Two completely different situations, different contexts, different scenarios, different values. And yet somehow we find ourselves drawn into this conversation where Raspadori and Pellegrini are on the same level, though everybody knows, first of all, they're not. And second of all, the financial aspect comes into play and makes this rumor quite the fantasy vision that a lot of journalists seem to agree on, even though they all recognize that it is borderline impossible to envision this being a swap.
Yes. for several reasons. The first being, as we all know, yet we see these rumors constantly as if we are playing FIFA on the PlayStation or something like that, or Football Manager. Andy, player swaps rarely happen. When you look,
the example being Salz Makers and Tammy Abraham. It was supposed to be a swap. And then notice how difficult even that was. So they had to change the term.
It is so difficult. So difficult for a one-for-one player swap to happen. They are so incredibly difficult. Diawara, Manolas, if you only knew the amount of negotiating all in all of the things behind the scenes that had to take place, the meeting, just for that to happen. Two players that, in the end, were inconsequential for each of their clubs. The level of work for a transaction, so minor as that, is unbelievable. You would be shocked at the number of meetings and the negotiations and back and forth. It's madness. So again, player swaps very rarely happen. The other thing I like, and I don't know if you catch this, Di Marzio. Now, he will, some of the things that he writes on his website, they do vary slightly from what he says on the television. So I just happened to have Sky Sport on at the time, and he said he added this to his report. And I believe in one of his written pieces, he had this, but he said, while Pellegrini is very flattered by the interest right now, his main focus is on AS Roma and recapturing a place in the starting formation of Claudio Ranieri. Who do we think that came from? Do you think Gianluca Di Marzio was like one of these old journalists in the 50s with the hat, the overcoat, with the little notepad, having to sneak behind buildings, talking to agents to get that? Or do you think that sort of narrative came from an agent who I call Zoolander, who may find it somewhat beneficial to Pellegrini to put out there that while he welcomes the news of a link to Napoli, his primary focus is on Roma. This is not a mystery novel here. This is fairly straightforward. And the part I always warn people of, these agents, man, they are very rarely talked about, but the actual influence they have on these storylines and these narratives is huge, especially given relative to how much they are discussed as individuals versus their impact on a deal. It is very out of balance. So, when it comes to this thing, Raspadori for Pellegrini, I just don't see it happening. I really do not see it happening at all. As you mentioned, we are speaking of wages. Pellegrini earns double that of Raspadori. Now,
yeah,
do we want to speak of it from a tactical point of view? Because tactically, it makes all the sense in the world, yeah? I mean,
tactically it makes sense, though. I think Raspadori is the classic example of a player who is being talked into deals because of his situation, because of the agents. I mean, it's a small world. Everybody has connections to the same agents, especially if they are Italian agencies. So in this case, everybody is friendly. Everybody knows each other. And, you know, if during a season, a player like Raspadori, so a striker, you know, Italian national team, even though his role is limited in that context as well, he's not happy. His case becomes, global, national news because of the connections that these players have in the Italian world of football. So, you know, here is Raspadori, unhappy at Napoli. Here is Lorenzo Pellegrini, who hasn't played much since Claudio Ranieri's arrival, who's having quite a terrible season to go along with it. Well, you know, let's put two and two together and make it happen, right? Like, that's how it works. So it's like that. The same thing, Raspadori has been linked with two Juventus players, Danilo and Fagioli, all because they all share more or less the same agents. They all, you know, deal in the same world. They are all unhappy with their respective positions at the club. So why not? Why not link them? And that's why this particular window is sometimes even trickier than the summer, because I think during the season, you have some real needs that need to be addressed. And it's very, very difficult to repair the team or even boost it as the season is going on. And yet, this is also the moment where all these ridiculous deals, all these names are being thrown out there, and you have to make sense of it. And there is very little to make sense of right now. I am actually surprised that at Roma, so far, the only names that have been really linked, I mean, there is just a handful of them. They've been repeatedly linked, but there's just a handful of them. So for the attack, we only have two profiles that Roma are looking for. Beto and Raspadori. Beto of Everton and Raspadori of Napoli. That's it. That's two players for a position that supposedly is key for Roma. Same thing for the winger. There's not much. There is this talk of a winger, of a new fullback, but nothing really is coming up. There is also the question of two additional center backs in case Mario Hermoso were to leave. Because, hey, there we go. Another player who is unhappy, Mario Hermoso, who signed a 3-year deal with Roma. Well, actually, a 2-year deal with an option. But he's unhappy. He's got limited playing time. So there we go. He's on the market. Fine. Who's coming in? Who's replacing him? Zaleski. That's another situation that we've been hearing nonstop about. And now there is complete silence. So it's the Dybala. Dybala, up until 3 weeks ago, was not going anywhere. Then for 3 weeks, he's moving. He's going. Galatasaray, they're ready. The agent spoke to Galatasaray. The player is set to leave, blah, blah, blah. And then over the past 2 days, what have we been hearing? Dybala will be staying at Roma. Dybala wants to stay at Roma. So how are you supposed to make sense of it, you know? And how are you supposed to arrange your ideas and your understanding of what your team needs to do? Roma need to do a lot of things. Roma need a backup that allows Dovbyk to breathe, allows him to rest, and you don't risk of losing, you know, that same intensity in the attack that Dovbyk gives you. They also need to find a reliable fullback. Obviously, you know, you can't, and again, you can't keep on going wishing that Matias Soulé will turn it on or Zaleski will turn it on. So you have to address that position. You can't wish for Mario Hermoso to stay if his attitude will be the attitude that he's displayed so far, which is, okay, I'm not the starter anymore, so whenever I play, I suck, because that's what Mario Hermoso has been doing all season long. He sucks so far. It's an experiment that it's not working. And hey, you see what happens when Mats Hummels is not there. You get a performance like the one we had at Como, you know? So this team is in a very fragile place. Theoretically, it should be easy to address the things that are missing. On the other hand, you also got these situations. You got Mario Hermoso, who's not happy. You got Nicola Zaleski, who's not happy. You got Lorenzo Pellegrini, who's supposedly not happy. So there is a lot at stake, and Roma are in a tough spot. They are in a tough spot, and they're in a spot where they cannot make any mistakes. That's why going into this Milan match, we're looking at potentially starting the same lineup as against Parma, because we cannot take any more risks. And what January does is it brings all these new question marks, and it fills the team with doubt because of us. All of a sudden, the players are looking at each other and like, is Pellegrini going to leave in a few weeks? Is Cristante going to leave in a few, like, what's going on? Is Dybala going? I mean, Angelino was asked if it was true that him and Paredes approached Dybala and asked him to stay, you know, like, so I'm just saying that even that plays a role. That's why every time this transfer window pops up, in my mind, it should be straightforward, but it never is, because it fills the club with even more question marks.
Well, it does too. And this thing with the left-footed central defenders coming to AS Roma on free transfers, we could do an episode strictly on that. It's bizarre how specific it is, but my goodness, just in this handful of years alone, yeah? I mean, you want to go down the hits? We can play some of the classics. Your favorite, Vermaelen, the debut of a lifetime. We can speak of Marcano, who, does he still play football? Has he retired? He has to be.
I think he has to retire because he suffered some really crushing injuries. But we also had Hector Moreno.
Yes. Who, by the way, months. I think I have baby face. He looks like he's probably 49 right now, and he looks 20.
Yeah.
It is such a weirdly and oddly specific topic. Yeah, we could speak of it for days. It is such a fascinating thing. I mean, do not remove Ndika, or let me just say, if you do remove Ndika from that equation, I mean, the track record is alarming.
Yeah.
Absolutely alarming.
But the problem right now that we saw is that, hey, Hummels, you take him out, well, you got a problem. You take out Paredes, all of a sudden you got a problem. Paredes, who was not seen for 2 months, now if you take him out of the equation, the team is in trouble. So
it's incredibly bizarre. Yes. And the funny thing is, it's not as if these guys, their ability comes and goes from match to match. I mean, yes, Paredes, he had a very odd situation with Jose Mourinho. You have to wonder what the thinking was there in terms of, okay, well, we can get him for a very low fee, PSG.
Yeah, that was the thinking. You're getting him for a bit, practically nothing, at a time when Matic just up and left, you know? And,
yeah.
And you have to find a replacement because you're playing in a week.
There's that, but there's the obvious difference of Matic being the very physical Mediano, the tough, muscular, the physical presence versus the classic Regista, two very different styles. Very, very, very up and down campaign under Mourinho. Daniele De Rossi comes, puts him in his natural role, and we see how things happen. But it is just funny because, again, I said this in the previous episode, this season alone, the guy has gone from famine to feast now under Claudio Ranieri. It's an interesting set of circumstances. Before talking more on Dybala, Ivan Juric, Premier League. I enjoy this because I went through it with Monchi when he, after going back to Svinia, he goes to Aston Villa.
Yeah.
And it is kind of like when you speak of Germany from 1939 to 1945. There's just a blank space in the tourist notes, you know? I think Family Guy did that joke. It is almost as if, same thing with Monchi, like this, that time at Roma, there's just a blank space, you know,
yeah,
as if you were in a coma during that time. You got that when it came to Ivan Juric with these 2.5 months at Roma. I've said time and time again, I was bamboozled by the guy. I think both of us were relatively
I think he was bamboozled by the whole situation, and perhaps this Southampton job is actually the natural step that should have happened after the Torino spell. Perhaps, yes, Roma was a sort of a black hole both for the club and for him in terms of how it worked out. It's weird, I must say, it's weird to see him in the Premier League. I can't see him doing well with Southampton, but then what do I know? I'm the one who sort of was hopeful that he would get this team working, and he seemed to be doing the opposite. I mean, exactly. Even the fact that today Claudio Ranieri comes in the open in the press conference and says, and a journalist asks him, "Do you want Hummels and Paredes to be the players of this team in the future?" And he says, "Yes. I want them with us next year. I want these two guys whom he called leaders." He said, "These are two players, Hummels and Paredes. These are the two players without whom the team struggles because they are the leaders of this team." Like, can you even think about that a month and a half ago when Juric was here? When he was asked about Hummels, he said, "I'm putting the players that allow me to win on the pitch." You know, like, that's so... Wow, that's okay. So that's a shocker, but I think that just goes to show how completely baffling this season has been. You have these two players that were ostracized, these two players that had no life. Paredes was being linked with a return to Boca Juniors in January, and Hummels was being linked with a return to Germany. And there were articles about how he's depressed and how his wife is depressed and everybody's depressed. And now Ranieri is talking about them as if the team couldn't exist without them. So what's crazier?
I mean, if you think about it, beyond Ndika, Svilar, maybe one or two additional names, Hummels, Paredes, right now under Ranieri, are the next two
the most consistent? The most consistent players. Like these are players that you just put the you can basically argue about any other player's position in the starting lineup, maybe except for Kone and Svilar and Ndika. Not them. These two guys, they just, since Ranieri's arrival, they walked into that lineup and they're not leaving.
It is funny. It is almost as if we are standing in a museum looking at some painting and our interpretation of it versus, you know, the interpretation of Ranieri versus Juric. You're looking at the same thing, but your understanding of what is before you is so wildly and completely the opposite of the person next to you. It's crazy to me. And by the way, you speak of just Hummels and Paredes, not even putting them on the team sheet. It is fairly obvious, too, when they are not in the formation. Particularly
the team suffers.
Paredes.
The team suffers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's basically without them is what happens. What happened last year without Dybala. Without Dybala on the pitch. What is this team? Well, we saw at Como, without those two guys, this team had no backbone. They had no reference points. As soon as they come back into play, Roma, all of a sudden, they awaken. They're like, oh, is this how we play football? Oh, okay, we got it. Okay, let's keep going. Let's win this. I mean, that's such a 180 degree turn. It's insane to me because really it just goes to show how a season, you know, because for so long we could argue, oh, this player is bad, you know, Paredes is bad or Hummels is bad. Hummels, for a while, Hummels was supposedly not in shape. But then the narrative changes, then the context changes, and all of a sudden, these same guys who are rejects, these same guys who are supposedly on their way out of the club, are now potentially looking to stay. Paredes is being talked about for a renewal because his contract is up in June. Yes. Hummels is on a one-year deal, so you assume, hey, if the guy is having fun, if he enjoys his life in Italy, and if he's fit, why not make it another year, you know? So that just goes to show how crazy this season has been. And the Dybala situation is the same because we went from seeing this guy announcing that he will stay at the club, he will reject the offer from Alcazaia, being hailed as a hero, to then people completely changing their minds and thinking, okay, this guy, he's got only one goal. He's completely useless. Under Ivan Juric, he struggled mightily. He was basically dying in every game. And then he gets linked with Galatasaray. And it's like, oh, he's going. Oh, he's going. Okay, well, sure. And then now the narrative's back into being, no, he's actually important. The game against Parma shows how vital he is to the team. And now Granieri announces that Dybala, he wants him to stay. You know, it never makes sense with Roma. It's always a roller coaster ride. But this season, more than any other season, really has just thrown so many questions into my mind because it really shows how decision-making about a club's future can vary from 1 second to the next. Because how can you plan for the future if with Juric, Paredes is no good and he's leaving in January, to with Ranieri, Paredes is a cornerstone of the team and he should be staying for years to come. How are you supposed to work with that?
Well, that is the issue. And that leads perfectly into this thing with the coaching search. Now, this situation under the Friedkin Group is a unique one in the sense of they have a lot of time and they have made it clear that they are going to take their time in finding the new manager for the next season. Now, there's a few nuances to this that I find interesting. We all know the group that they consulted with previously, Retexo Intelligence. I believe they are based out of California in the United States. It's a group, football consulting group that works with a lot of big clubs, Real Madrid being one of the most recognizable. And they are the ones that aided in the search for Thiago Pinto. Roma and the Friedkin Group had not used them previously for any of the managerial searches because what? We see what happens. They arrive with Paulo Fonseca. He manages for one season, but they announce in April, Jose Mourinho. Retexo did not consult with them for Jose Mourinho. After that, De Rossi, they did not consult with the Friedkin Group for him. Juric, same thing. So now that they're back into the fold and there is time. This is not a decision that needs to be made with a very truncated timeline. You have many months. You are well aware of who all of the potential candidates are.
You have publicly announced by making Claudio Ranieri a senior club executive at the end of the season, you're basically publicly announcing that he is personally involved in these discussions.
Yes, there's that. And then there is something else, and I'm sure you have noticed this in recent weeks, but I do find it interesting because it is being said publicly. Have you realized, because it has come from the lips of Ghisolfi, Ranieri has said it, and I believe Paulo Dybala has said it as well. They have said, if we continue not to get results, if we continue to struggle and not to get wins, we are not going to have a very high-level manager want to come here.
Well, yeah.
Which is such an interesting thing to say, because you never hear that, because it has always been, what, we are AS Roma,
they realize that this situation is historically bad. I mean, John, you've been navigating the relegation. You'd be foolish to come out and say, because so many times have we said it in the past, everybody should be honored to be linked with Roma. I mean, let's face it, no, I guess not. Even for someone like Jose Mourinho, going to Roma was really taking a big step back. Even Jose Mourinho, who became loved by the fans at first, he was basically making it sound like he was sorry to be there in the first place. Remember those first months when he was like, these guys have these players and I have these players. And I would have loved to have Bruno Perez at my disposal, but nobody consulted me. I mean, what were you talking about? So I think it's a healthy approach to have, considering that Roma haven't done enough to warrant the attention that a club should have by being linked with guys like Ancelotti or even Gasperini now. I mean, people who I see in some of our articles that have mentioned Gasperini, I see a lot of people, wiping their nose and be like, no, we don't want him. He's not good enough. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? I would sell off my kidney. I would chop up my arm.
Which limb of mine, yes. Carlo, pick? Pick which foot do I give to you?
If you can give me a guy who brought Atalanta and helped it from Serie B relegation to winning a Europa League, I mean, please.
I mean, I've seen comments on that of Gasperini, of Ancelotti. Some people saying, Ancelotti, he's too old, he doesn't know how to play mother. Hold on. Wait, what? Huh?
And even someone as hated as Allegri, we have to consider what context we represent right now. We are not gonna try. I mean, I would say that at the rate we're going, even a name like Vincenzo Montella should be treated by us as some sort of saint, because not many people are gonna look at this team and think to themselves, I can do good stuff with this team. Because it's one thing if Antonio Conte looks at Napoli, who just won a Scudetto, have more or less the backbone that led to the Scudetto win, and are not playing in Europe, and he looks at them and goes, yeah, I can definitely do something with this squad. It's another thing to look at this Roma that have been notoriously underachieving in recent years, that have failed time and time again to qualify for Champions League football, and think to yourself, I can do better. I can do better than a Conference League trophy and a Europa League final. I can do better than that. Not many people will take up this challenge at this moment in time. That's the thing. If this is being publicized as a process, as a lengthy process, it is a process. Not only that, it's a process that highly depends on how the team is doing on the pitch. If you keep losing, guess what? Top level managers will not want any part of this because it's going to be a mess. That's why.
It absolutely would be a mess. But I just find it interesting that they keep harping on this situation of, wow, it is almost as if the way it comes off, at least to me, they have some sort of agreement or there have been discussions based on criteria. Well, I will come as long as Roma finishes A, B, C, or as if there's a list of criteria that this needs to happen, this needs to happen. And Gisolfi is sort of trying to motivate the team by that fact.
But it only makes sense, John, that you have to, the message is we have to win. John, that's the simple message to send to the team. And it's not a message. It's not only a message to the fans of, guys, calm down because we still have a long way to go. It's a message to the players. We have to win. Otherwise, we will be stuck with the Ivan Juric's of this world. Let's face it, because what the Friedkins taught us in these last few years is that, okay, despite adversity, despite the team finishing below expectations, we can still get a guy like Mourinho. We can still attract a top-level talent like Paulo Dybala. But this is not going on forever. If this team really finishes at the bottom of the league or near the bottom of the league, nobody wants to come. And we have to make that be understood by a lot of players who will stay here at the club no matter what. There are players here who have long contracts. There are players here who will stay no matter what. So, hey, let's make it easier on ourselves. Let's win. That's how you get the attention of guys like Allegri. That's how you get the attention of guys like Ancelotti. You have to build a context that allows these managers to not go into it and think to themselves, oh my God, am I ruining my career? What am I doing? You have to build an environment, a context that allows people to imagine that they can be winners here. You know, that's the challenge that Jose Mourinho took upon himself. He saw that, this is a team that hasn't won anything in a long, long time. Let's make it happen, shall we? You know, that's how he won in that first year. Perhaps that's also why he lost a bit of that hunger later on, but because he felt like that was the culmination, that was the apex that he could achieve with this team. But you have to create a context where managers see potential. If I look at Roma now, you know, December 27th, is there long-term potential? I don't know. And if I don't know, then how can Allegri, who's probably busy betting on a horse race in Como, how is he going to know that he can not make a fool out of himself by returning to managing a team after taking a break?
Well, speaking of being made the fool, will that happen to Roma this weekend? Milan? It is, yeah. Hey, the last time they went to San Siro, it worked out relatively well.
It did.
That seems like centuries ago, despite being only 8 months.
Yep.
So these 8 months have been a trial of 8 decades, it seems, with what we've had to be subjected to with Roma. But having said that, listen, it's Paulo Fonseca. This is a guy who, much like Rudy Garcia at Napoli, I just don't understand what people seem to not watch when it comes to AS Roma. Perhaps the Roma matches are blacked out in their geographical location of the world. I don't know, but I still cannot comprehend, because I think a club such as Lille is a perfect place for him. I just think at Milan, you're going to be limited. Now, I think you have always had a much higher respect or perhaps appreciation for Paulo Fonseca.
Yeah.
I don't see it much like I do with some of the other managers. I just think, my gosh, and what he's done in these few months, I don't know how you ostracize the best left back in the world. I don't know how that's possible. I don't know how you specifically request Tammy Abraham when you have not a single club trying to acquire this guy definitively, and then Milan emerged from nowhere.
Well, yeah, but then you can also argue that, I mean, he's done wonders for Rafael Leao, who, you know, it seemed like he was punishing him. It seemed like he was being hard on him, but in the end, it worked because Rafael Leao is having a hell of a year. He's going back to that mode that he was in when Milan won the Scudetto a few years back. So I think Fonseca is a coach that that works in certain contexts. Probably Milan is not the context. Milan, much like Roma, is a very difficult context. It's a context that would benefit very few managers. The fact that Pioli won there, of all places, baffles my mind, baffles me completely for the rest of my days. But listen, I think all in all, both teams are pretty much in a very similar position. They're both in a tough spot. They both have different kind of pressures. They both have to answer on the pitch. What Milan have done this season is not enough, just like what Roma have done this season is not enough. With this situation of Theo potentially not starting, that's the idea for Milan. You have to make use of that. Leao is not going to be there, so that's a big advantage. Christian Pulisic, questionable. So Roma should be in a position where if they field the same starting 11 from Parma, if they go into this match with the same level of desire to do better that we saw against Parma, where they just outclass the opponent, then no matter if it's at the Meazza or if it's at Stadio Olimpico, that shouldn't matter. Unfortunately, this Roma team haven't won an away game in 8 months. So yeah, pretty much since the last season against Udinese in Serie A, we haven't won an away match. That means a lot. That means that we cannot disregard this. We cannot just simply say, oh, it doesn't matter. For this team, it matters. It shouldn't. It really should, but it does. And if there is one thing that worries me is that perhaps that will have an impact on them, even though Milan, such as they are right at this moment in time, Roma should be dealing with them. I don't say with ease, because a game in Milan is never easy, but they should not be afraid. They should see this as an opportunity, and Milan should not be considered favorites.
No, they do have a lot of injuries as well. I've said it the previous two episodes. I will repeat it one final time. Had Roma not been so otherworldly shit this season, it would be Milan under the microscope. It would be Milan, the ones who have much to answer for. Yet Roma have been so unequivocally horrible that they have sort of let the others get a free pass, so to speak. No prediction. As you said, we are going on 8 full months of not having one away from home. I say this each time, and it sounds so stupid, but they can do it. I mean, if they play as they did last
absolutely.
Week.
They can absolutely do it. They did it last season against Parma. They played such a high level that you knew as it was happening, that wasn't a fluke. They were dominating so clearly, so evidently. They were playing so beautifully. They were so organized. Everything was clicking so well that you know that they have it in them. The question is, again, time and time again, can they replicate this away from home? For 8 months, the answer has been a resounding no. So perhaps I would love to believe that on a big stage such as the Meazza, the answer, yes, we can do this. I would love that to be the final note of this year. Of 2024 and 2024 with a win at the Meazza. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that fill you with, I mean, Roma will be then training on January 1st in front of the fans. That the club organized an open training session for the fans to attend right before the derby. I mean, can you imagine the atmosphere if you were to win against Milan right before the derby, right in front of those fans at the Tre Fontane where Roma will be training? Can you imagine how amazing that will feel? Can Roma play off of that belief, off of that thought that, hey, if we win, we will be hailed as heroes right before the biggest match in the capital, which is the derby, which is where everything culminates. We know how much it means to the fans. Can't we get our shit together for once and win away from home?
That is a bold move. To do by Roma, considering if this does not go well, you can only imagine what the atmosphere at that session would be like. Full credit to them. It is, again, it does take some guts, because you can only imagine some of the banners that would be on display. We will return after the match Sunday. Fingers crossed. Hopefully we can go into 2025 with 3 points and putting this disastrous 2024 behind us. We will chat again in a few days. Until then, ciao.
Ciao.